Welcome to Forecast News of the Million. Afternoon, we'll be talking you through some of the events coming up in the week that we think you should know about. If you're new here, please subscribe and give us your comments on the events we discuss in today's show. On Monday, the 11th of November, 2024, we better start with, after the big events of last week, obviously Donald Trump, new president-elect again of the United States, but the big news of the week, at least in the media, that we're going to be hearing for the next couple of weeks, I think, is the 29th COP29 climate conference in Baku in Azerbaijan that will be starting on Monday, finishing in a couple of weeks on Friday the 22nd. Many world leaders are going to be showing up to this. Some may be boycotting, given Azerbaijan is a kind of an ally of Russia, or at the very least friendly towards Russia. President Aliyev met with Putin back in April. That's not going to be looked on favorably with some people who may be attending this conference. Happens to be Azerbaijan, a country with a lot of oil, though, a small country that is badly affected by climate change. I think it's home to 9 of the world's 11 climate zones, has a lot of droughts, earthquakes, floods, all of that stuff. But we're now hearing these climate pledges won't be met. Some are worried about Trump pulling out of these international environmental organizations as he has, but then if no one is really sticking to these pledges, then I guess it really doesn't matter anyway, does it? But if Biden nor Trump are going to be going to this conference, I guess it's kind of a farce at this point anyway, isn't it? It's just surface level with no actual substance, these conferences.
I don't think Trump is gonna go. You sound a bit echoey. I'm wondering whether you had the right microphones plugged in and you look homeless. No, but maybe these are the consequences of economic policies that have destroyed the West for so long, clearly. You don't even have a seat. And that is what millions of people are like since the 2008 crash. The recent indicators on sovereign debt and swaps on the financial markets show the increasing poverty coming to a head, regardless of the Trump election. And Monday, Saudi Arabia's chief of staff going to Tehran. Desperate attempts in this region in the Middle East to try and stave off any war with Iran that Genocide Joe might start. Horrific pictures coming in the past few hours from Gaza as Genocide Joe, Kamala Harris, try desperately to ramp up the extermination as part of the genocide. The quadcopters that are armed with guns that are coming to the hospital in Gaza. Which hospital is that? The Kamal Adwan Hospital in the northern Gaza Strip. Imagine being a nurse or doctor and seeing this quadcopter come at you and kill your colleagues and then yourself. The genocide continues. And Bitcoin going crazy as people leave the dollar, leave normal investments ahead of changes. And it's the 11th of the 11th of the 11th. Mm.
It is.
Armistice Day, which of course famously paved the way for the Second World War, an even worse war than the First World War. So appallingly strategically moronic were the leaders of Western Europe at the Treaty of Versailles after Armistice Day, starting the N-word. Am I allowed to say Nazism now that Trump has been elected on any platform on social media? Because clearly Ukraine and their Nazis are worried.
Yeah, well, those allies certainly commemorating today, as we mentioned that last week, so commemoration started on Sunday. And you're right, people are going to be looking to see what the Biden administration is going to do in the, 2 months that it's got left before Trump takes power again. But just quickly on Monday as well, we've got this seventh ministerial conference of the Budapest process. It's first launched in 1993. I think it's about 46 countries that take part in this. And this is going to be a very big thing on Monday as well. Got many Eastern European countries, Western Balkans, Central Asia, though I think as well. The USA is an observer state, as is Iran, as is China, Canada, Bangladesh, Australia. They're all going to be part of this. This is a conference mainly focused on migration, migrants. I know you don't like to use that word, but it is the word that they're using. There's going to be a lot more of them, a lot of refugees as a result of Gaza, as we were just saying, and the violence in the Middle East. But I suppose you're against this conference anyway, right? Because people should just be able to move anywhere. I mean, this is about the legal process of migration and how they can organize that internationally. But
I mean, you can't have the European Commissioner represented there, European institutions. These are all complicit in genocide, and they have no right to be able to discuss refugees clearly because they're sponsoring the crises that lead to the mass migration of refugees all around the world. Hopefully we're in a new era. Trump promises no more wars like when he was last president, although his pick for the U.S. ambassador for the UN doesn't look very good. Some pro-Zionist who calls Russia Vladimir Putin a dictator or something like that. So already worrying signs coming from the incumbent, the Trump-elect administration, but that'll have a more of an impact than any of these conferences, albeit that Hungary will try and play a good role, arguably, in this, because Hungary is anti-war, anti-NATO war, arguably.
Yeah, and we're just going to have to see what Trump does. As we said before, we kind of, you know, it's unclear what he is actually going to do at the point that he gets in power, and we still don't know yet. So we'll have to see. But let's get to Tuesday, quickly, the 12th of November. Now, this is a bit of a ridiculous one. On Tuesday, it's the US-made deadline for Israel to improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza. So basically, on the 13th of October, a month ago, there was a letter written to former now Defense Minister Yoav Gallant of Israel and Strategic Affairs Minister Ron Dermer, a letter sent to them from outgoing US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who basically gave Israel 30 days to make concrete measures to reverse the downward humanitarian trajectory in Gaza in order to continue receiving US military aid. Now, there's no actual evidence that there's any improvements being made on the humanitarian situation, certainly by Israel. So, I mean, what is the US going to do about it? Firstly, this is an outgoing administration. He's probably going to do as much as they can for Israel in the next 2 months. But what are they going to do? Just pretend improvements have been made, or are they going to stop aid?
Well, I mean, the important thing is, I suppose, for Butcher Blinken that Miriam Adelson's money that bankrolled the Trump campaign will at least stop him from going to prison for what he's done. Clearly, these deadlines and so on were just attempts at trying to hide the fact that Blinken, Biden, Harris, Austin, Sullivan, and the rest of them, Bill Burns, were never honest brokers. And U.S. President Joe Biden is hosting the president, the genocidal president of Israel, at the same time as this deadline expires on Tuesday, the 12th of November. You know, the whole world can see it clearly. Of course, what's worrying is that Trump said finish the job. So perhaps that's more of an important aspect to the genocide than any idea of a deadline expiring. Those journalists in the State Department will presumably be asking about the deadline. Joe Biden's also with the Indonesian president, Subianto, the largest Muslim nation in the world, Indonesia, famous for the Bandung Conference. I can imagine that the Indonesian president will be telling Biden, what are you doing? But it makes no difference. There is seemingly no hope for the 2 million in Gaza who face extermination via starvation or bombardment, killing mostly women and children. Over the weekend, we had 70% figures from the UN report. These are mostly children between the ages of 5 and 12, was it? Their heads being dismembered, being burnt alive by British weapons, European Union weapons and American weapons. It continues. No one's going to help them now.
Yeah, and as we've said, we don't know how Trump is going to be on Israel. And strangely still, Biden does seem to be hosting many people, many leaders this week. He's going to be in several countries. He's still in charge and doing all of these high profile visits. But on Tuesday, another headline is the ruling in the case of Donald Trump and this Stormy Daniels payment case that he was convicted of. Now, a decision on Tuesday is going to be made on whether the guilty verdict will be overturned. Now, I know there's a lot of questions surrounding Trump's cases, his court cases, now that he is president-elect.
Oh, that's your sofa.
That is. So, that you'll see a sofa has now appeared behind me. But we'll get back to where we were. So, Tuesday, ruling in the case of Trump and the Stormy Daniels case, basically, they're going to decide whether the guilty verdict is going to be overturned, which may well happen given that he's just become president. He would be getting 4 years in prison if this verdict isn't overturned, and the sentencing would then happen on the 26th of November. But I mean, how likely is it any of these cases are actually going to go ahead anyway? And even if they did, I mean, he's not going to go to prison at this point, is he?
No, but the Manhattan District Attorney's office, Doug Cohen, is that the DA? He's in trouble. The New York State Unified Court System, Office of Public Information, Lucian Chafin, these are all the names. I think any new Biden Attorney General is going to try every type of way that they can to persecute, is that the right word? All those involved in the lawfare to prevent the Democratic election of Donald Trump. Of course, each court carries a maximum sentence of 4 years in prison for these Stormy Daniels hush money cases. I think a lot of lawyers, a lot of people in the legal system who were part of this battle to destroy democracy in the U.S., could face more years in prison than that under a Trump administration.
Meanwhile, as well, on the same day, just I know we've got to be quick, but Jack Teixeira, the Pentagon leaks bandit, someone, he's being sentenced on this very day, on the Tuesday, and he's going to be facing, I think, between 11 to 17 years in prison for his Pentagon leaks, classified military material on social media. So less than Julian Assange was facing, but he's definitely going to be getting that. But we should get to...
Very, very important that he is given a pardon, just like Julian Assange is, because Teixeira gave us so much information about this proxy war on Russia through Ukraine. So, very important.
Yeah, that's the question, if Trump will pardon him. Don't know how likely it was. He didn't pardon Assange. He said he would, but... that we will see when Trump officially takes office. But Wednesday, 13th of November, awkward conversations, I think, are going to happen as Joe Biden and Donald Trump are going to be meeting at the White House again, where they're going to be talking about Trump's transition to the presidency. Quite ironic, is just 4 years before that, Trump was having the same conversation with Biden, but the roles were reversed. So you would want to be a fly on the wall, I think, here. And then there's also going to be leadership votes and elections to the House Republicans and the Senate Republicans on the Wednesday. So a lot going on there as part of the U.S. takeover. I mean, it's pretty embarrassing for Biden, isn't it, to have to have this conversation with Trump?
We'll know more about some of Trump's cabinet picks, hopefully, by Wednesday, 13th of November. Will Donald Trump say curb the genocide is the important thing? The IAEA director general visiting Iran on the same day. Will Trump say he's going to launch a war on nuclear sites in Iran and be talking about that? Very important meeting in the White House. Very concerning because the genocide will be peaking in these months before the inauguration on the 20th. Of course, all through this, we have to say, while Trump is alive, because there will be assassination attempts, who knows, perhaps by the military-industrial complex, as there have been before, when a president has been elected who opposes their policies of eternal war nonstop.
Yeah, and I know we've got to move on quickly. Just Wednesday is the Somaliland elections in East Africa. The Republic of Somalia, technically not an independent state, it's not officially recognized as one, but it is having its first election since 2017, despite that sort of quite controversial there. I think they've had several delays on this election, but as you may say, is it even a country anyway? It's not.
But we should say we should be expecting an uptick in Al-Qaeda and ISIS-Daesh. So they were also infiltrating in Somalia. They come from NATO arms, NATO support, infamously in Syria, which Trump has already signaled he wants to withdraw from. So that's something to watch out for in the Somaliland elections, because there's no doubt Bill Burns and his people will be on side to try and foment and reactivate Al-Qaeda and ISIS-Daesh, as they have been supporting them in Syria, famously against the Assad administration, as were all those NGOs who supported the overthrow of the Syrian government. That's going to be a feature of Global South politics in Eurasia as Trump approaches his inauguration day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very quickly then, Thursday, 14th of November, we better get to Thursday until Saturday. Joe Biden is in Peru for the APAC Economic Leaders Summit. Xi Jinping of China is going to be there as well. And that coincides with Trump, who is hosting his own CPAC Investor Summit at his home in Mar-a-Lago on Thursday. This is a three-day conservative political action conference forum, is what it stands for. Again, don't know why Biden is even there at this point. It's almost like Trump, I don't know, is he doing this out of spite as like a kind of competition with this international APAC? I don't really know, but significant that Xi Jinping is going to be there with Biden at this summit, if they're going to speak, when there's been tensions with the Biden administration and China. I guess it doesn't even matter now because he's not going to be there for much longer. But obviously quite noteworthy that Xi Jinping was one of the first leaders to congratulate Trump on his election win, when they had a very rocky relationship when Trump was there. So do you reckon we're going to see improvements in China? And probably would be better if Trump was actually there at this APAC summit later on in the week.
APEC.
Very different thing, APAC.
I mean, lots of people there. Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan Chase, Chilean President Boric, who opposes the Palestine genocide. That'll be much of the topic. But we've got to remember, it's in Peru where there have been mass demonstrations against Dina Boluarte, massive public sector strikes in the transportation there that have been working on, Anitra transportation. So there'll be no transport, a lot of traffic in this neoliberal Peruvian government. Will people be safe as the people of Peru clearly tries to rise up against the Peruvian government while this massive APEC summit happens?
Yeah, and we'll mention it a bit further on Friday when it officially starts. Joe Biden's just heading to Peru on Thursday, as is Xi Jinping. But on Thursday as well, we've again got these Sri Lankan parliamentary elections in South Asia, home of Sri Lankan Rainbow Moonstone. Please look it up. The last election took place in 2020, where the incumbent Sri Lankan People's Freedom Alliance Coalition won 145 seats, and the main opposition party, I think, came fourth, which was terrible. And in September, you might remember, there was the presidential election, which we did cover on this show, so go ahead and look at that, where they elected someone who's referred to as the former Marxist, Anyera Kumara Dissanayake, who's looking for parliamentary backing in this election. And we know that the US is Sri Lanka's largest export market. I think the current president sees the US still as a strategically important partner, and the parliament is likely to back this new leader. So questions surround the future of this relationship and the US's influence in Sri Lanka. And this may change now, obviously, as Trump takes power, though I'm sure will be pretty much the same with regards to influence over there, I'd assume.
Yeah, very dangerous flashpoint. Obviously, China with big investments in Sri Lanka. As far as we know it, Anura Kumara Dissanayake immediately congratulated Donald Trump, wants to integrate Sri Lanka in with the United States against China. Already, Taiwan being in the news already because Trump is ramping it up against China in preparation for pressuring them on tariffs and economic activities. So, you know, the dangers are all there. You know, Thursday is this football match, Israel v. France. We don't know why a genocidal nation, rogue nation like Israel should be in the Euros, but or in the Nations League match it is in France. But of course, it comes after the fake propaganda news in NATO countries alleged that there was some kind of pogrom in Amsterdam recalling Anne Frank, when, of course, on social media, thanks to Elon Musk, for instance, we could see Sky News, which owned by Comcast, deleted their package from their reporter because it showed the truth that actually Israeli football fans were running around Europe talking about the need to bomb all the schools of Gaza because all the children had been killed by Israel armed by UK, EU, US weapons. So that'll be very grim.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll wait to see. But yes, Friday, the 15th of November, let's get to quickly. Now, it is officially the OPEC Leaders Summit on Friday. Kind of mentioned it already. It's going to be at the Lima Convention Center in Lima if you want to head down and go see what's going on there. Don't think Putin's actually going to be there still this year. He's obviously a member, as is China, Taiwan, Japan, Indonesia, Vietnam, Canada, Korea, South Korea, I must say Chile, Mexico, many countries are part of this. APEC promotes free trade throughout the Asia Pacific region. It is one of the highest level multilateral blocks and oldest forums in the Asia Pacific region. As you've kind of spoken about, we shouldn't really like APEC, should we? The kind of summit.
Oh, yeah. Who is this Boluarte who's hosting Albanese from Australia and all these people? She's the one with the alleged possession of collection of Rolex watches and luxury jewelry, who's apparently could be criminally responsible for protest debts. Difficult to tell. Peru, more or less a colony again of the United States, as far as we can tell. You can just look at the ready reckoner of who voted against Russia as regards the proxy war through Ukraine. So, you know, an APEC summit without the largest country in the world, Russia, doesn't really seem to bode particularly well. But China, as you said, is there. So
yeah. Well, if you're down at the APEC summit, let us know how it goes and what you think of it. But let's quickly get
to... It should be said, Boluarte facing big trouble in her own country. Could there be a revolution while APEC conference... What does APEC stand for? Asia Pacific Economic...
It's the Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation.
Yeah. So what it has been historically, of course, is a hegemonic US proxy vehicle. Quite surprised Xi Jinping's going.
Yeah, exactly, especially as Biden's going. But yeah, stay safe if you are over there, but let us know how it goes. Let's jump to the weekend, Saturday, 16th of November. Now, I guess the poignant thing on Saturday is that it's 1 month, as people remember, since the Hamas leader Sinwar was killed by IDF forces. Now, a lot of the top leaders in Hamas have been killed by Israel over this past year. Kind of strange that a month now has gone by since the biggest leader, the most wanted figure in Hamas and by Israel, who was deemed the mastermind behind the October 7th attack that has caused Israel to cause this destruction in Gaza. But still, Israel hasn't stopped a month down the line. So the question is now, what's going to make them stop? What's going to make them satisfied when they've killed all of the people they wanted to kill and there still seems to be no sign of them stopping? Quite poignant that is an anniversary on the Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Sinwar was the basically the lead negotiator over any hostages. They killed him, of course, with the British-American EU weaponry. And it was those drone shots of his last moments with his arm destroyed, blown to pieces, and throwing that pile of wood from the drone footage that made the Hamas leader a hero, even amongst those who don't support Hamas, as a show of final resistance. There was lots of propaganda that he was living abroad, living the high life. He wasn't a true resistance leader. And the footage the Israelis released made him a hero. I understand that some footballers, I think some footballers of Arab descent, have shown themselves to sit in the posture of Sinwar in his final moments before being killed with an American weapon. Such is his legacy. I mean, he goes down as a hero.
Yeah, but we'll have to see what happens there as regards the situation in the Middle East. But let's quickly finish on Sunday Gabon. The 17th.
I should just say Gabon on the Saturday, the new constitution. Gabon, a crucial ally now of BRICS. Perhaps we'll get into BRICS at some point. The Americans, the CIA, trying to overthrow the country in Africa, and useful for oil sales, as far as I understand it. It's on the Atlantic coast of Central Africa. Of course, the Sahel, also things happening there. Will the Biden administration try and overthrow some of these coups against U.S. Imperialism that have occurred in the past year or so?
Okay. Quickly then, Sunday, the 17th of November. Now, Joe Biden is in Brazil. He's gone from Peru to Brazil. This time, a lot of travel, I'd say, in the week of COP29, quite interesting. But this is for the G20 summit in Rio de Janeiro, which is going to be officially starting on Monday and going till Tuesday. But the arrivals are going to begin on Sunday, probably some bilateral meetings with world leaders as well. Again, Putin isn't going to this, although Russia is a member of G20, but significantly, these world leaders are going to be heading there on World Day of the Poor, which was a day called by Pope Francis a few years back. Obviously, being poor is relative. If you're a billionaire with a small yacht, he's got a living next to a neighbor with a big yacht, they might consider themselves poor. But officially, this year, according to the World Bank, 712 million people worldwide fall into the category of extreme poverty, which is defined as living on less than $2.15 a day. But I suppose it's in the interest of institutions like the World Bank to keep people poor, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the fact that Lula is hosting the G20, I've spoken to Lula, I've interviewed him. Everyone now very suspicious of what the United States has on him. They previously couped him in Brazil to be in BRICS. And of course, he recently in Kazan in Russia didn't turn up because he had an accident in the bathroom and still had time to veto the introduction of Venezuela, the country with the largest oil resources on earth, into the BRICS alliance. So Lula playing a very dangerous game indeed in Brazil. Yeah. And of course, to host Genocide Joe for the G20 itself, highly suspicious.
Yeah, and again, if you're down there and you're at the summit, then let us know how it goes. But we better leave it there for this week. Thank you very much.
Sure, didn't we? That was a much quicker, zippier forecast news.
I hope you have enjoyed the snappier version. But yeah, please give us a like, give us a comment, let us know what you think of the topics we've discussed. Subscribe, of course. But we will see you next week. Goodbye for now.
Bye.